Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Welcome to My World. This is Dominique, your host, as per usual, back with you. And tonight we're going to be discussing the Democratic and, unfortunately, a little bit of the Republican primary results tonight in New Hampshire. For those of you who've been living under a rock, that is where the primary has taken place. And we've got some really exciting results, I suppose, for both parties. And I'd like to deliver those to you. If you'd like to call in and discuss, the call-in number for guests is 1-929-477-2694 for those calling in from the United States. Otherwise, you'll have to add the country code. This is something we discussed last time. But for those calling in from the United States, it's 1-929-477-2694 to call in and join us as a guest on the show, which you're more than welcome to do. So what we're discussing, as I just said, tonight is the New Hampshire primary and the results of both the Democratic and Republican primaries. They're a little surprising on the Republican side, not so much on the Democratic side, but let's get right into it. We've got the numbers right here in front of us, and I hope that this will help to educate and inform. So let's get the exciting news out of the way before we move on to discussing potential signs of the impending apocalypse, okay? So here's the good news, guys. For those that are feeling the burn, Bernie Sanders has just won the New Hampshire Democratic primary. Now, not all of the votes are in just yet, but so far, at least 75% of the votes are in, and they currently reflect the following numbers. First, we'll start with the candidate that did not win. That is Hillary Clinton. And the pledged delegates that she received tonight were numbered 7 out of 24. As I said, not all of the information is in yet, but because of the large gap between her and Bernie Sanders, Sanders has already given his thank you speech and has accepted this win. So Hillary Clinton has received 7 out of 24 pledged delegates so far, and I'm double-checking the numbers right now just to make sure that we've got the most current information. Okay. It does look like now she's got 9 delegates. So 9 delegates, 9 pledged delegates out of 24, and Bernie Sanders has 13. So Hillary's got 9 pledged delegates out of 24, and obviously because she was the favorite to win this primary and was the favorite for the establishment to win the nomination, it follows that she has 392 superdelegates. Not surprising, folks, not surprising. But it is, oh, I'm sorry, the number has just changed to 394. So she has got 394 of the superdelegates. Now, this isn't surprising, as I said, for a number of reasons. We talked about what delegates and superdelegates are and what the differences between the two are on the last show that we did for one of the primaries. So if you'd like to look that up, please go ahead and listen to our Iowa caucus show, and you'll have a nice little lesson in there, an impromptu little lesson about what the difference is between delegates and pledged delegates, or I'm sorry, pledged delegates and superdelegates. So we're not going to go there right now. We're going to go on because there's a lot of information to cover. Maybe we'll talk again tomorrow. But basically, at this moment in time, as I just said, Hillary Clinton has 9 pledged delegates and 394 superdelegates. She only has 38.7% of the vote, though. So the voters have spoken, guys. The establishment has spoken. We're not surprised with what they've had to say, okay? We're not surprised. But the voters have spoken, and the voters have overwhelmingly, overwhelmingly voted for Bernie Sanders. Now, with 38.7% of the vote, as far as the votes that are in right now, and 9 pledged delegates and 394 superdelegates, Hillary Clinton has lost the primary. Now, Martin O'Malley has 0.2% of the vote, even though he's already dropped out of the race. He has 0 delegates, 0 superdelegates. Obviously, we were not expecting anything different. We were not expecting anything different. Now, as I said, there are 24 pledged delegates in New Hampshire. And moving on to Bernie's numbers, Bernie has obviously, as we discussed, won the New Hampshire primaries with 59.7% of the vote so far, and 13 pledged delegates and 42 superdelegates. Again, it's obvious who the favorite was. The establishment favorite was definitely Hillary Clinton, with 394 superdelegates to Bernie's 42 superdelegates. But as I just mentioned, now for those of you who think about not voting, this is why you vote. Look at the difference between the numbers right now. We have got 394 superdelegates for Clinton, 42 for Sanders, and yet he has received 59.7% of the vote from everyday voters. This is a huge deal. This is a grassroots movement, a grassroots effort, and it is so just, it speaks to the reform that our system needs, and it speaks to the fact that we as voters are ready to enact this reform and to vote on our own behalves and to use our voices. So this is a huge deal. This is a grassroots movement, as I've been saying, and it is really picking up steam. So if you are a voter, if you're over 18 years of age and you're a citizen here, if you're not a voter, register to vote. If you're a voter, go out and vote. Your vote obviously counts. If this doesn't tell you that your vote counts, nothing will. So if this doesn't tell you that your vote counts, basically you're just not listening. So this affects you directly. Now, we're not at Super Tuesday yet, and we'll obviously know more then as far as who wins the majority of the primaries in the majority of the states, but we are moving forward to the South Carolina primary, and Bernie really is in the lead, even with how he performed in Iowa. Many people consider that to be a win for the Sanders campaign, a real come-from-behind victory. Because Bernie Sanders, as I said, is not establishment candidate. He is not the establishment candidate. He is not the candidate that anybody thought would give Hillary Clinton a run for her money. People pretty much thought that Clinton was the shoo-in for the Democratic nomination. And it turns out now, no, she's not. It turns out that the voters have spoken and they have a favorite candidate. And guess what? It's not her. It's Bernie Sanders. Again, Martin O'Malley, who is not currently in the race, for those of you who are wondering, as I said, has only received 0.2% of the vote from individual voters, with obviously no pledged delegates and no superdelegates. Now, just FYI, for a little lesson in mathematics here and politics, 2,382 out of the 4,763 delegates are needed to secure the nomination for the Democratic candidate for the President of the United States of America. But the Iowa caucuses, the New Hampshire primary, and the South Carolina primaries are really the most important caucuses and primaries to any candidate running for president. So this, as I said, is very big for Bernie. Unfortunately, it's big for Hillary as well. Now, moving on to signs of the impending apocalypse. Plant your victory gardens and stock up on water, folks, because crap's about to get real scary around here. Donald Trump is the winner of tonight's Republican primary. Oh, and I say this with great trepidation. Donald Trump is really, I guess, the front runner. I mean, Ted Cruz did win the Iowa caucuses, so let's not all, you know, throw in our United States citizenships yet, but it's obvious to me, and the poll numbers show this, if you look at the Real Clear Politics polling, that Donald Trump is the front runner. So heaven forbid he secure the nomination, because he is absolutely wacky as hell. He's a wingnut. He is a wacko. He is a wackadoodle. And I think that I am saying this with as much journalistic integrity as I possibly can, because there are much worse things that Donald Trump can be called. And in fact, the British Parliament has already called him most of those things. So, wingnut candidate Donald Trump is unfortunately in the lead for the Republican nomination. And here are the numbers. I'm just going to read them to you. Try not to hold your breath. Okay, breathe, relax. Things will be okay. Bernie is polling way ahead of Donald Trump in the general election if he is the eventual nominee. So, as I said, breathe, relax. You'll be fine. Okay, hang on to your citizenship for now. But right now, the delegates won. For the Republicans are 1,237 needed for the, excuse me, the delegates that are needed for the nominees. Excuse me, I'm not speaking English tonight, am I? My goodness. 1,237 delegates are needed for the nomination for the Republican Party nominee. And right now, 2,472 are available. Now, here are the numbers. Because the people that aren't doing as well in the Republican race haven't dropped out, the numbers are looking a little odd, okay? So right now, we have got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2, 3. We've got 9 people still running for the Republican nomination. I mean, this is crazy. At this point in time, there should not be so many nominees or so many people running for the nomination. This is absolute narcissism at its finest. Now, Donald Trump has 17 delegates, won. Ted Cruz has 10. Rubio has 7. Kasich has 4. Bush has 3. Carson has 3. Fiorina has 1. And Christie and Gilmore are still in the race with 0. Really odd, you guys. This is not politics as usual. This is bizarre, narcissistic, you know, functioning sociopathic stuff. It's crazy. Now, at this moment in time, there have been several candidates who have actually dropped out of the race, as you should when you're not seeing the numbers, when you're not winning the primaries and caucuses, when you're not polling well. And those candidates are Graham, Huckabee, Jindal, Pataki, Paul, Perry, Santorum, and Walker. So there was just an abundance of candidates running for the Republican nomination. And to my mind, it makes no sense. Why keep wasting your money? Drop out, consolidate, and re-up for next time if that's what you feel you still want to do. I mean, worry about governing, not being in the spotlight. Okay. Bernie Sanders was in politics for 40 years before he ran for president. So, come on, guys, get with it. Bush, it's not even clear to me why Bush is running. It's not clear to me why Carson or Kasich or Fiorina or Christie or Gilmore are running. It really isn't. The polling numbers are not looking well for them. Even Rubio's a little bit would be a come from behind victory for sure if he were to win the nomination. Carly Fiorina, as I said, has 1 delegate. So I don't know why she's still in the race. The numbers are not looking good for her. But you know, as I said, typical narcissistic display. I mean, this is just absolutely bizarre. Now, with 82% reporting, as I said, Donald Trump has won. He gave a bizarre acceptance speech that we'll talk about in a little bit before we get to Bernie's, before we get to the good stuff. Now, Donald Trump won with 10 delegates. That's 35.1% of the vote. Okay. Right behind him, oddly enough, was a real come-from-behind, not victory, but it was a come-from-behind second runner-up situation with John Kasich, who has 3 delegates with 16% of the vote. Then after John Kasich, in third place is Ted Cruz with 2 delegates and 11.5% of the vote. And then, of course, in fourth and final place was Jeb Bush with 2 delegates and 11.1% of the vote. Now, Rubio still got 10.5% of the popular vote, but he didn't get any delegates at all. Christie got 7.6% of the vote. Carly Fiorina got 4.2% of the vote. Ben Carson got 2.3% of the vote. Again, none of them securing any delegates whatsoever. And then from there on down, Rand Paul received 6% of the vote. Mike Huckabee received 0.1% of the vote. Rick Santorum received 0.1% of the vote. And Gilmore, Pataki, Graham, and Jindal obviously received 0.0% of the vote. But again, it's still way too many candidates. I mean, they've got to narrow themselves down, take themselves out of the race. And to me, the numbers that are coming through, especially on the Republican side, are just indicative of a generally disenfranchised voter base. This voter base they don't know what they want to vote for. They don't know who they want to vote for. They're feeling disenfranchised. They're feeling like their problems are not being addressed by politicians. And they frankly don't know which way to vote. So, you know, they're maybe assuming that the Republican Party will somehow work for them, even though if you're in the working class, if you're in the middle class, even if you're in the wealthy class, it's not going to work for you. Because frankly, if we don't have an earth to take care of and to live on and to become prosperously rich on, we're not going to be around to enjoy our lives. It's that simple. I mean, if your candidates aren't even going to admit that global warming is an issue and aren't going to admit that not taxing corporations is harming our worker class and our middle class, then no, you don't have to vote for those people because you're going to be voting against your own interests. And it's clear that those politicians are not in your corner. But many people don't know that because they feel so disenfranchised that they don't keep up on the issues. They don't educate themselves. They don't use their educated voices. They don't have considered opinions to use. So it is so important that we all continue educating ourselves on world policy and politics, on world issues, and that we keep our voices strong and keep our opinions strong so that when we have to use our voices, when we have to stand up for ourselves and for others, we vote the right way and we know what the actual issues are and who's in our corner and who's not. Okay, so that's my little speech for the night, but please take it to heart. It matters. It's important. And it applies directly to you, you know, which is why I do this show, because the issues that matter to you need to be brought to you, okay? They need to be brought to you. You need to know about them. So, signs of the impending apocalypse. We discussed the numbers. We discussed the numbers, and it does look like about 82% of the vote is in right now. Let's move on to Donald Trump's victory speech, okay? Hold your noses, because it's about to get stinky in here. Oh, my gosh. Donald Trump's speech tonight. Now, I didn't notice him using a teleprompter. I don't know. He may have been. It seemed to me as if he were speaking off the cuff. His speech was quite word salad-y, very reminiscent of Sarah Palin's endorsement of Trump himself. Very word salad-y. He congratulated Bernie for winning on the Democratic side, and then literally in the same breath turned around and said that Bernie was trying to, quote-unquote, give away our country. I'm not sure who Donald Trump thinks that Bernie plans on giving away our country to, but we'll just go ahead and note that that is what he said. I'm not sure where Donald Trump was getting his information tonight. It seemed as if, as I said, the entire speech was just off-the-cuff word salad. It was just nuts. During the speech, supporters started chanting USA, 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 USA in lieu of nothing, although I am assuming that it's possible that one of Trump's people rallied the audience to this contrived and, dare I say, short-lived cry. Trump congratulated the other candidates. Apparently, he couldn't even take time to name any of them. Maybe he didn't even remember their names because he was apparently speaking totally off the cuff. And he said that he was thankful for this win, even if it only lasted for a couple of weeks. Now, did he stop there? Of course not. Of course not. And, you know, a couple of weeks, hello. By the way, it hasn't been a couple of weeks. Ted Cruz did win Iowa, not you, Trump, not you, Mr. Trump. that was Ted Cruz. I know you may have memory issues as you can't remember the candidates' names who are running alongside you, but you didn't win Iowa. Just a reminder, if you're out there listening, you didn't win. So I haven't been a couple of weeks. Sorry, sweetie, I think you're a little confused. And then in the same breath, he turns around and says, but it won't be just a couple of weeks, inferring that this primary win was indicative of an overwhelming victory for him as the inevitable nominee for the Republican Party. Trump thanked his wife, Melania, for putting up with this quote-unquote whole process, but then he immediately changed the subject back to his inescapable and inevitable awesomeness as he directed the subject back to Melania, apparently saying early on, that if Trump did decide to run, he would win without question. What an odd way to pay homage to and thank your wife, Mr. Trump. Donald Trump thanked the voters for voting for him and then immediately turned around and gave credit to all of his apparently numerous friends in New Hampshire for winning him this primary. Again, what an odd way to thank other people. What an odd way to thank voters by giving the credit for your win to your quote-unquote numerous friends. Okay, you know, I'm just reporting what he said. I'm not making it up. I'm just reporting it. He reminded New Hampshire voters that they quote-unquote started it. And to my mind, I want to actually say the same thing. To my mind, this means, guys, remember, when the zombie apocalypse hits, you started it. So, guys, you know what? I'm going to quote Donald Trump there. You started it. New Hampshire, congratulations. When the zombie apocalypse hits, you started it. Just remember that in Donald Trump's own words. Okay? Now, he moves on to say that we're going to, quote, unquote, beat. I didn't realize it was a contest, but we're going to, quote, unquote, beat China, Mexico, et cetera, with regard to trade. I don't know if he meant trade policies, GDP, I don't know. But again, I would say to that, not with the TPP/TPA in place and not with the proposed trade deals being discussed right now, Donald. Sorry, but that's an empty talking point. We are obviously not anywhere near beating, whatever that means, these other countries in regard to trade. The USA chant rallies once again, and then his belligerent supporters start fighting about whether to continue yelling or to shush those who started the chant. Classy, classy. Donald then injects his speech with incredible randomness, like, where's Al? Get up here if you can. If you can, Al. What? I'm not making this up. Then he starts rambling about how New Hampshire voters are basically all on heroin and how the quote-unquote kids are getting stuck, maybe with heroin needles. I don't know. Maybe with something else. I have no idea. Donald Trump recently suggested that ISIS and Syrian refugees were responsible for heroin distribution, and not only for heroin distribution at large, but here in the United States. Okay. Then Donald moves on to say that this is beautiful, quote unquote, while looking out at the crowd after congratulating himself for his win. Then he moves on to talking about, quote unquote, educating our children locally. I didn't realize that was a thing. And then he moseys on over to the totally random subject of the Second Amendment and, quote-unquote, animals who shoot people, and talking about how, quote-unquote, nobody had protection. Again, not sure what the hell he's talking about at this moment in time. And as far as I'm aware, animals don't have opposable thumbs. So, okay, moving on. Donald Trump. Post Donald Trump, we'll put it that way. Post Donald Trump, I'm going to be the best jobs president that God ever created. And then he suggests that unemployment numbers were wrong and then decided to randomly switch subjects to knocking the hell out of ISIS, quote unquote, and suggesting that his presidency is going to be so great and talking about it, quote unquote, it, I don't know what it is, possibly the cost of the Affordable Care Act, because it seems that he may have been talking about health care. I'm not sure. He was really subject jumping and engaging in some word salad-y talk. But he talks about, quote-unquote, it going up 30%, 40%, 50%. I don't know what 30, 40, 50% is. I didn't know that 30, 40, 50 was a number, but okay. And I can only assume right there that he's using the roughest of napkin math as one of the Vox writers was just reporting about some of his odd numbers, that he uses the roughest of napkin math. So I'm going to go ahead and get on board with that assessment. I can't remember if it was Ezra Klein. I think it might have been, but one of the Vox reporters that was writing about Trump recently was talking about how his math resembled the roughest of napkin math, and I'm going to go ahead and agree. I'm going to go ahead and agree in light of this speech. Now, Donald moves on to talking about, quote-unquote, winning so much and making America greater than ever before. Then he reminds his voter base that, quote-unquote, we are going to South Carolina, in case they forgot, before he walks off stage yelling, I love you. I mean, this is just a train wreck. This is an absolute train wreck. Kasich actually, I believe he did actually speak after Trump, and he sort of engaged some of the same metaphors that Trump was using, calling for random people to get up onto the stage. You know, God knows if somebody named Al even exists, but for the love of God, you know, Donald Trump sure wanted this guy up on the stage. Hey, Al, get up here. Al, where are you? Did he tell us who Al was? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Why would he? But he was sure adamant about Al getting up on that stage. He was sure excited about having Al up on the stage. So, as I said, far be it for me to try to describe what might be going on in Donald Trump's head, but this is just absolute word salad. And John Kasich was taking cues from Donald Trump tonight, I believe, because his speech was a little bit odd as well, a little off the cuff, a little not very well put together, and word salad-y. But apparently this engages the Republican base because people were absolutely going nuts. It did sound a few times, at least through Trump's speech, as if somebody were rallying the crowd to yell out particular slogans and particular words. But as I mentioned before, at one point toward the end of Donald Trump's speech, the crowd started belligerently fighting about whether to actually chant USA, USA, or to shush the people that were chanting. And of course, there is another lovely, lovely piece of etiquette that has come out of the Republican race so far, which is that when the candidate is on stage talking, apparently members of the voter base get to yell out random words and phrases. And Donald Trump will incorporate those words and phrases into his speech. For instance, tonight, with a little bit more of a tame example of this. Tonight, he was allowing people to call out where they had come in from to help with his campaign. Again, this is not really supposed to be an interactive speech, and to me that just smacks of a low-class mental attitude. But as I said, to each his own, far be it for me to ever possibly predict what might be going on in Donald Trump's disordered mind. I don't know what that might be. But before tonight, and the most extreme example that I've seen of this so far was the other night when Donald Trump was making a speech. It may have even been last night, but don't quote me on that. He was speaking in New Hampshire about the New Hampshire primaries, and he actually heard a woman, I guess, in one of the first couple of rows yell out that Ted Cruz was a quote-unquote pussy. Now, Donald Trump actually incorporated that into his speech after hearing this woman say that. Any real statesman, any real politician, any mature human being would not do that. That is absolutely unacceptably low class, unacceptably disrespectful, and unacceptably crude. And nobody called him to task for that. Really, nobody called him to task for that. So I guess I'm doing that right now. Donald Trump, I'm calling you to task for calling Ted Cruz a pussy and for saying that his views on ISIS and on just foreign policy in general were that of a quote-unquote pussy. I think that is horribly, horribly low class and horribly inappropriate. And, you know, the fact that he doesn't realize that or maybe doesn't care is scary to me. I don't want this guy to be my next president. I really don't. And by the way, Ted Cruz's foreign policy is pretty aggressive. I don't think that his foreign policy, I'm assuming that to you, Donald Trump, pussy means something negative. He has a negative or a female or a weak connotation. Well, I don't see it that way, but apparently you do, Mr. Trump. So I'm just going to go ahead and remind you here that Ted Cruz's foreign policy is pretty awful. It's pretty hawkish. So calling him a quote-unquote pussy is indicative of the fact that you are a warmonger, sir. So, you know, can we keep that in mind as voters? That's all I'm saying. I'm very disappointed in the campaign he's running. Not that I suspected that I'd be anything other than disappointed, but I do realize that there are people out there who don't have this information and who think that he's just a plain-spoken gentleman. And I'm here to tell you he's not. If you want a plain-spoken gentleman, you may want to familiarize yourself with Bernie Sanders. Tonight, Bernie gave a really humble speech after he won the primary. He rallied his base, and I think he really hit home for those of us who are part of the working and middle classes. He spoke very humbly about his background as the child of an immigrant, or of immigrants, rather, plural, and he gave real policy information. Donald Trump, of course, did not. We wouldn't suspect that he would, of course, but Bernie Sanders did give real policy information. He did talk about his proposed speculative and transactional taxes on Wall Street, and he talked about saving the taxpayer money, you know, the individual taxpayer, because he's going to be taxing corporations, and he's going to be raising the tax rate when appropriate on the higher income bracket. Now, for those of you who are not aware, again, just to raise awareness, Bernie Sanders would not raise taxes on anybody who makes less than $251,000 a year, okay? And again, just to remind you all, during the Eisenhower era, taxes were well over 50% for rich folks. I believe the highest tax rate back then was like an 80% tax rate. Now, that is high, but it worked. And look what the 1950s did for us. We really buckled down on infrastructure. We really buckled down on just worrying about building our country up rather than being the world police. And look where that got us. Until the Nixon administration, we were really thriving and doing quite well. We were doing very well. And the middle class worker during that time period, somebody who worked, let's say, at the equivalent of what a Walmart worker today would be, could afford a home. A bank teller, a janitor, a school teacher could afford a home. The dad or the mom could work at a factory and have, say, three kids, and with just that one income, they would be able to support their whole entire family. Okay? So let's put this in perspective, shall we? Let's put this in perspective. Bernie Sanders is not proposing anything radical. He's not proposing anything we haven't tried before. And frankly, if we look at some of the really high-functioning democracies like Denmark, which is one of the best places you can live in the world right now, as far as social programs and, you know, having little to no homelessness and little to no incarceration, it's a great place to live, and he is proposing policy points along the same lines of countries like Denmark, like Sweden, like Norway, like the UK even. So before we get all up in arms and say, oh, this is too radical, I can't handle this, et cetera, let's really try to think about what it is that he's proposing. He's proposing strong infrastructure. He's proposing strong support for social programs. He is proposing, as I mentioned before, a speculative and a transactional tax on Wall Street. That means all speculative transactions are going to be taxed, all of them. Now, does that mean Wall Street's going to fall apart? No. Does that mean there's going to be another bailout? No, not at all. Absolutely not. And with those corporations that contribute to Wall Street and that's so prevalent in our society, paying actual taxes, it's going to benefit all of us. We will easily be able to fund the social programs that we want and need to fund. We will easily be able to fund healthcare and education. So let's, as I said, put things in perspective on tonight, the night of the New Hampshire primary. And let's make sure that we have all of the information when we're casting our vote. Now, is Donald Trump's platform scary as heck? Absolutely. Is it something that I think we should rally against? Yes, absolutely. But there is light at the end of the tunnel. Now, I personally will vote for whatever Democratic candidate is nominated, but I hope that candidate is Bernie Sanders for the reasons that I just gave you. Bernie Sanders, I believe, is our light at the end of the tunnel. And if we don't want Donald Trump to end up being president, and if we want to maintain any foreign relations with any country in the world, it's pretty darn important that we cast our vote for a sensible candidate. And I believe that candidate is Bernie Sanders. So as we're talking, it's possible that the numbers may have changed, and I'd like to just check in and see what those numbers are and see what percentage of the votes have come in. It looks like at this moment, 85% of the votes have been recorded. And at this moment in time, the superdelegates are still 394 Hillary and 42 for Bernie. It looks like the delegates are 13 for Bernie and 9 for Hillary. And that the voting percentage is 59.9% for Bernie, who won, and 38.5% for Hillary, who came in second place. Now, for the Republican side, Donald Trump still has 17 delegates, and it looks as if Donald Trump has 10 regular delegates, from what I'm understanding. The numbers are looking a little bit different here, as far as how they're being reported on the Republican side versus the Democratic side. But 10 pledged delegates, supposedly, are what Donald Trump has come away with thus far. 35.3% of the vote. And John Kasich, who has come in second, has 3 pledged delegates and 15.9% of the vote. Ted Cruz has 2 pledged delegates and 11.5% of the vote. And then Jeb Bush in fourth place has 2 pledged delegates and 11.1% of the vote. So going from there, those candidates with no pledged delegates to their names have the following numbers. Marco Rubio has 10.5% of the vote. He's in fifth place altogether. Then comes Chris Christie with 7.6% of the vote. Then Carly Fiorina with 4.2% of the vote in seventh place. And then in eighth place, Ben Carson was 2.3% of the vote. Now, everybody under that place in tonight's primary has less than 0% of the vote, so we're not going to count those numbers. They don't need to be reported. There are just so many candidates here in the Republican primary that why bother reporting? Those are not the numbers that matter. And frankly, we've discussed all of the pertinent issues of the night. Now it says, again, 86% of the vote has been reported, and that, again, for the Democratic side, Sanders has won 13 delegates, Clinton has won 9. So the votes are coming in fast, and we're getting more information as the night moves on. We may or may not be back tomorrow morning right here on Welcome to My World with Dominique. And if you would like to call in during any of our shows, the guest call-in number, as we talked about before, is 929-477-2694. Those calling from the United States should dial 1 before proceeding with the rest of the number. So they would dial 1-929-477-2694. Those calling from other countries should look up the appropriate country code. It's possible that it's, you know what, I think it's, maybe it's 0, I'm not sure. But look up the appropriate country code, because as I said, we did have a little bit of a question about that the other night as to how somebody from another country might call in. And people from the UK, people from Australia, people from all over the world are interested in our election, and particularly because they're pretty horrified about Donald Trump. As I said, it's not just me. Look up the British Parliament and what they had to say about Donald Trump. They actually proposed banning Donald Trump from visiting the UK. Now, how well would that work out for a president of the United States to be banned from visiting the major country that we need to consort with and that we need to talk with, especially about foreign policy and trade issues? That would not work out very well, and that would not reflect well on our citizenry. So I'm just going to leave you with that, that we have some light at the end of the tunnel. Yes, we have some goofy, crazy candidates, but we do have light at the end of the tunnel, and I believe that that light is Bernie Sanders, who has won tonight's primary. Thank you so much for listening in. As I said, we may be back in the morning. We'll see what the numbers look like and if there's anything else to report. Otherwise, we will be back next time. Tomorrow evening, likely tomorrow evening, with a show about the best shows on television. We do discuss many issues here on Welcome to My World, and entertainment is one of those issues. So if you'd like to hear about some of the very best shows that are on television, please join us for a little bit of a taste of what that broadcast is going to look like. The shows that we're going to be discussing are Teen Wolf, Jessica Jones, and The 100, which I think are some of the best shows on TV at this moment. I will check in with all of you tomorrow, either tomorrow evening, probably between 5 and 7 p.m., for the best shows on television, or tomorrow morning at 7 or 8 a.m., if anything interesting happens with the rest of this primary recording. And I suspect it won't, because we've really already got our winners. It's not a close race like the Iowa caucuses were, but be aware, we may be back with you tomorrow morning if there's something interesting to discuss. Thank you so much for tuning in to Welcome to My World, and we will talk at you next time. Have a wonderful rest of your primary night.